Hello, and welcome to What's Your Deal? I'm your host, Ariana Lenarski, and this is the podcast where we read tarot for special guests to see where they've been and to find out where they're going. Today we have with us Hallie Cantor. Hi, Hallie.
Hello.
She is a writer, a wonderful television writer who's written for Lady Dynamite and Arrested Development. She's also written pieces for The New Yorker. And she's sitting across from us today. She has an expression of, she's ready for anything, I think is maybe the expression I'm seeing.
I feel ready for anything.
Okay.
You sort of asked me a little bit about my intention with some crystals that you were setting out, you know, which one I wanted closest to me. And I chose the one for showing me the next level.
Yeah. So
I'm just
ready to have
my eyes opened. My third eye's open. My fourth eye's open. I'm ready.
You're ready to enter the fifth dimension. You know what I've noticed is really strange about, I should rant a little bit about this. Actually, maybe you will rant too, because I think that you're someone that sometimes, normally when I have a guest on, they haven't like experimented with witchcraft or that much stuff.
Ooh.
I usually like people that are a little more skeptical.
Sure.
But I think it's something that you are like slightly interested in, but also super skeptical about. But you do like have a deck of tarot cards.
Yes. I think that I feel like maybe we're on the same page about it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you're on a more advanced page.
Yeah, I have a whole podcast about it where I read people's tarot and I do it professionally.
Okay, that's true. I mean, like, ideologically, I find your approach to tarot appealing because you like it a lot and talk about it a lot and find it fascinating. But also you have said to me that it's, like, bullshit.
Right.
And, you know, that's... that's
just
the
like
level
life.
On which I enjoy it. Yeah, exactly. Like, nothing has any meaning and nothing is real, but also, like, you know, things are very meaningful and important because if we don't make them meaningful and important, then we're going to get bored.
Right. Wow. Getting real deep right away.
Whew.
That's Hallie.
Yeah. I feel like we talk normally in life, but I rarely make this much eye contact with you. And I feel like it's really bringing me into like a...
Are we
locked
in?
Yeah.
Okay, I can take my glasses off if that...
Why would that help at all?
Because then I wouldn't be able to see you as well. I guess you'd be able to see me better. Should we take our glasses off?
Okay, if you want to. Actually, when I practice yoga, which is not witchcrafty,
also,
but...
Also, I want people to know we both just took our glasses off.
Yeah, we took our glasses off. You're very blurry. It's actually making me feel a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, I feel more comfortable too.
When I practice yoga, I do it without my glasses because my glasses are like very loose
off.
And slide right off my big head. Uh-huh. But it also really helps me like focus on myself instead of like looking at other people.
Yeah, it's like being in an impressionist painting.
Maybe I should just go around in life
not wearing
glasses.
I think you should probably keep
I'd,
your
like,
glasses
on. I'd
like
bump into a lot of stuff like Mr. Magoo style.
You're driving us home, so.
Oh, yeah. I'll put them on to drive.
Okay, great. That's it. But I feel like, well, that's kind of interesting to what I was thinking about, where I noticed that people who seem to be really lost in the sauce about tarot and everything.
Sure. Is that a basketball term?
Lost in the sauce?
Yeah.
No. It's a term about falling to, actually, I think it's actually a nasty term. Where like you get lost in the sauce of someone's...
Is that reference to like alcoholism?
No, I don't know if I can say this.
Or is the sauce like the sea?
I think the sauce is the like delicious physical aspects of a woman.
Oh.
Yeah, you get lost in the sauce. Yeah, you get lost in sauce.
Wow. Okay. Are you allowed to use anatomical language on this podcast?
I don't know.
I won't say it then, but we all know what lost in the sauce means.
Okay. Sometimes people get lost in the sauce of witchcraft, whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
And when they do
that. Where they're like believing in it too much?
Yeah. They lose their minds.
Okay.
And I've noticed that a lot of time people will be like, we have to make the jump from 3D to 5D.
Whoa.
Have you heard this before?
No. Why are they just passing over 4D?
Exactly what I was going to ask you.
Why would you ask me? I don't even know what 5D means. Wait. Okay. So 3D is like 3D space. And then 4D is the fourth is time. And then the fifth dimension...
Movement?
Oh,
yeah, like moving
okay.
through space is fate. Maybe the fifth dimension is space.
Oh, okay, moving through space over time. I'm flabbergasted.
Well, I'm just glad that you immediately noticed that we're skipping the fourth dimension as well.
Of course.
So, well, anyway,
You can't go right from 3 to 5. That's insanity.
Yes. So
that's how you get lost in the sauce.
Yes, exactly. Like, what about the fourth level? Yeah. Which also reminds me of the... Were we talking about the Wayside Stories books?
Possibly, because I do love those books. How they go from the 12th floor to the 14th floor. Yes, and it's like, no, the 14th floor is the 13th floor.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've had this conversation, but like, we may as well have.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that when you are going to the next level now, you are going to go to this level that for some reason people are so ready to just skip.
Which is
But you're
going
to be
fourth.
Brave enough to go there.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
So we're entering the fourth dimension.
Well, but now I'm sort of envious of all these people who are skipping right to the fifth.
No, we don't want to be not like them.
Do you have a crystal for going to the next level past the one that's consecutively next? Because that's where I'd like to go.
So the sixth dimension?
Ooh.
You want it?
I want to one-up everybody. I'm going right to dimension number six.
I think to one-up people, you have to go to the fourth dimension where everyone is afraid to go.
Oh.
You have to be the one that's brave enough to go to the fourth dimension.
I'll go to the fourth dimension. So wait, so since the fourth dimension is time, does that have any bearing on like... what that means for me spiritually? Or it's just like, it's, I mean, is it going to be some revelation about my past and future and everything? Or is it just going to be like a cooler dimension?
Let me think. Okay. It must be frightening. Here's why. Fourth dimension, if it's just time but no space,
yes.
You must be recalling every single moment of your life at once.
Right.
Which
like
sounds
time is
terrible.
A flat circle.
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds bad.
Yeah, that sounds really bad.
I see now why people want to go just skip to the
Yes, but if I were a therapist, and I frequently pretend that I am, I would say that you can't really get to the fifth dimension without confronting the fourth dimension.
Right. I'm nodding like very...
Yeah. Even without my glasses, I can see that that's a knowing nod.
Okay, yeah, I buy that. So... So we're in the fourth dimension now. All of time is now.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh my
God. So it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
What do you want to know the most?
Oh boy.
Or I guess it would be, what do you want to see the most? Where do you want to go the most? You can go to any place in time.
Oh my God. Is this where I'm supposed to say that I'd kill Hitler?
That's so cliche now.
That's true. Well, it's interesting because I've kind of feel like my normal questions would be like, I want to see the future. I want to see if things change. But if all of time is happening at the same time, then like, can things change? Or
you can change.
I feel like I'm stoned, but I'm not. I guess.
Let me make this easier for you.
Yeah.
What time would you like to return to? I guess that would be either a time of happiness or a time where everything changed and you would want to like change it. But that might be too intense. So I might just take you back to a happy time.
The morning my parents told me they were splitting. No.
Wait, is that actually something that you remember? Okay.
I mean, I remember it, but no need to return there today. Okay, now that we're thinking about time, I'm thinking about, like, my New Year's resolution this year was to, like, you know, confront negative self-talk and, like, you know...
Love it.
...actively try to, like, interrupt the thought patterns.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I've tried to do this many times in my life. And when we're talking about, like, all of time repeating, it's like, you know, you get in these spirals of, like, I'm going to really improve and work on something, but then you kind of, like, go back into your old patterns and, like... It ends up being sort of like a slinky that's headed upward, you know, where it's like it's slowly getting better over time, but also like maybe it's just a circle.
Well, they say healing is a spiral.
Right. Yeah.
And by they, I mean a girl that I follow on Twitter.
She sounds very wise.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm curious about where my healing spiral is going.
Interesting. But there's no part of your past that was like, man, that was a really happy moment. And I wish I could get back to that point of flow that I was in or something, or like that pure happiness. Like, I remember this moment when I was in a hammock on a rooftop with the guy that I was like in love with when I was like 18.
Yeah.
And it was like a hot summer's day in New York City, but we were up in this hammock and we were like in the hammock. Looking out over the city. And
wow.
I was like, I think this is the happiest moment of my whole life.
Oh my gosh.
And I remember thinking, it's only up from here.
Oh,
like,
no.
I was like so optimistic, and then it wasn't.
But okay, so your desire to go back to that, is that it's just a desire to feel that moment, or is it a desire to do things differently from then on?
To feel that feeling again.
Yeah. I think I don't have enough respect for a fleeting moment, because
wow.
if I were going to think about going back to the happiest moment, it would be like, well, but then it's going to end.
Wow.
Like I have
no respect for the fleeting moment.
No respect for the fleeting moment. One time when I was a little girl, I went to Six Flags, maybe some kind of amusement park with just my dad. And I was like a real little daddy's girl. And like usually like, you know, it was like we would go somewhere as a whole family. But this was like for some reason my sister and my mom were like on another trip somewhere. And it was like just me and my dad so we could ride the log flumes the whole day, which was my favorite thing to do because I was afraid of real roller coasters. And I at one point during the day, I started crying. And my dad was like, what's wrong? And I was like, this day is going to end.
Oh.
And I just wanted to ride log flumes with my dad.
You were never wiser than in that moment.
I know.
That was truly the wisest joy
also,
you've ever felt.
I feel like it's also not wise, because the wise thing to do would be just enjoy the fucking ride
no
on the
way.
Log flumes.
No way. The best joy is accompanied by a sense of crushing sadness.
Maybe. But I feel like sometimes my sense of crushing sadness like eclipses the joy, and I'm not able to really experience the joy because I know it will end.
I think it just might mean you're not dumb as fuck.
Maybe. I also, like, sometimes when I'm, like, snuggling with my dog and stuff, I think about how she's going to die someday.
Oh, my God.
And
now
she's
that's
like,
weird, because I know that dog. And yeah. for you to be thinking about Robbie, the perfect...
She's a perfect
Robbie
angel.
Is, like, the most... We both, like, clutched our chests thinking about her. She's, like, one of the most perfect dogs I've ever known.
I love her so much. She's not even 2 years old. Like, she's not going to die anytime soon, knock on wood. And still, it's, like, the future loss is present in
wow.
in any joy and love that you feel.
That must be your problem, because I've never looked at Robbie and thought about that. That
wow.
that might be your that truly is something we might want to solve today.
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
Not that this is not a problem solving podcast.
I mean, if my ascendance into the fourth or fifth dimension allows me to kind of make peace with loss.
Mm, wow.
And like experience the current moment of time that I'm in, I'd be chill with that.
Okay. I love it. I think that's really great. I think that's what we'll try to focus on.
Great.
With your reading. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will read the tarot of Hallie Cantor. You think about Robbie dying?
Not like all the time. But once in a while, because people are always, like, posting about, like, you know, on Twitter, like, you always see someone who's like, we're saying goodbye to Jasper today. Like, we had so many good times. And, like, I'm like, someday, you
wow.
know?
I think about my mom dying. But I think of it in a way where I'm, like, prepared. No.
Just kidding.
Where I'm, like, preparing myself. Maybe that's, okay. Let me do intro back, and then we'll keep talking about this.
Okay.
Welcome back to What's Your Deal? We're here with Hallie Cantor, about to read her tarot. We're talking a little bit more about what we were talking about previously, where, okay, I had a revelation during the break that maybe the reason that you are thinking of the darker parts, like of Robbie dying or something mm-hmm. like that, I relate only slightly where I'll think about my parents dying or something mm-hmm. like that, but I'll do it out of a sense of wanting to control my sense of grief. I'm like, I better think about them dying now so that I won't have to grieve as much later.
That's interesting.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Is that what's happening?
Well, it must be on some level a form of attempted self-protection to be like, I'm going to feel the pain now and then I won't have as much to feel later. And it does not make sense at all.
Yeah.
It's not like a zero-sum thing.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's an attempt to like limit the amount that you like fully love something or feel comfortable in something so that then when like the end of it comes, you are less like shattered by it.
Yeah. You don't feel as bad.
Yes. Like I've always done this in relationships too. Been like, okay, well, yeah, you know, there's this person I'm seeing, but like, you know, who knows?
I won't give
together
my
now,
whole
but, like,
thing.
I'm never the person who's like, I love him. Like it's, you know, we're together forever. This is it. And I think it's because I am afraid of like looking stupid if there's a breakup or something, and then like the world or whatever imaginary audience is watching me.
Oh, wow.
Gets to be like, haha, like she thought this was going to be forever, but it actually has an end.
Wow. I didn't even consider it as like an outside looking in type of thing.
I think it's like a fear of looking stupid to me.
Whoa. That is not. Yeah. Although I totally understand that. It adds another actually layer of horror that I hadn't even considered.
Welcome to your brain.
For me, it's more like for instance, I was very close to my roommate before she moved up, but that relationship had weird boundaries because I didn't want to get into a real relationship because I didn't want to give my whole heart or anything like that.
Because you knew someday she would move out?
Because I knew someday she would move out. Yeah, it was like casual. It was like sort of casual. And also, I just wanted to avoid ever like feeling really heartbroken or anything like that. Yeah. But then when she did move out, I did cry and I did feel like shit. And I was like, well, fuck, I didn't even like give my whole self. Right. So it was a waste. I still felt like shit and I never got to
feel terrible.
High.
And in some ways it's like even worse because it's like, well, I should have just like gone all in.
Yeah. I remember very specifically there was one moment when we moved out of the house, when we had to like move out of the space we were living in. And she really liked the bathtub that was in the bathtub. Mm-hmm. And I remember she said, can we, with, you know, wearing bathing suits, she was like, can we, like, take a bath? And I remember going, no. I was like, no, aww, that's weird.
And now and you now wish I'm you had like, taken a bath?
That was so stupid. We should have just taken a bath.
Aww. That's so interesting.
It's one of my biggest regrets. But why didn't I just get in the fucking bath?
Do you think the reason you didn't do it is because you knew that someday once she moved out, you would have to like play the movie in your head of like all the fun times you had together and it would be like the scene of like you two like splashing around in the bathtub?
No, I think I truly was, that was where I might think of outside things where I was like, no, that anyone that I told this to would think this was weird, which is weird because I think I'm a person that does weird shit like that all the time.
Yeah.
But when some people like when she approached me with something weird, I was like, no.
Interesting.
No, you weirdo.
So you would have taken the bath if it had been your idea.
I think I would have.
That's interesting.
Which makes me feel terrible. Makes me feel really bad.
I wouldn't worry about it too much. I'm just thinking about the audience thing reminded me of this thing that's been on Twitter. Somebody, I think Dana Schwartz, posted a like video of her being like, here's my audition to be your dead wife. And it's like that little montage-y thing of like, you know, under the covers, like smiling, laughing, mouthing like I love you. And it's like that thing in like her and like every movie ever where like the man is looking back on
remembering
his dead wife and like the little montage of all the like wonderful moments plays. So maybe I think part of me feels like if you can limit the amount of wonderful moments you have in your life, you don't have to. So like
you'll never be caught up in a movie where you have to avenge your wife's
You will
death.
Never have to see the little movie montage moment of you guys in the bathtub.
See, this is going to be part of your reading too. We have to be more, I'm jumping in on your own, on your tarot spread I'm seeing. We have to be more willing to do it. Can't be the opposite way.
Yes. But then sometimes I do catch myself, you know, that thing when you're like having a really fun time and then suddenly you're like, uh-oh, like this is going to be a memory someday. I think I just like, anytime I start having too much fun, it's like the Six Flags thing where I'm like, oh no, I can't ride this log flume forever.
I mean, okay. I love this. This is what you're going to do spread about. Okay, so I'm going to have you shuffle these cards.
Okay.
Think about we've been talking about, yeah.
And bath time with your roommate.
As you're shuffling. No, don't get leave my roommate out of
okay,
this.
Okay, fine. These cards are so much bigger than the ones that I have because I have like the mini version of these. My hands feel
It's funny
awkward.
How many different sizes of tarot cards there are. The first kind that I got, they were as big as a postage stamp.
Whoa.
That's and it took me a long time to realize that I deserved bigger cards.
Oh my gosh.
That was
you
hard
do.
For me to come around to realizing.
Do you find that it makes you less likely to take them places?
When they're tiny?
When they're bigger.
That's a good question. No, I'll usually take this deck anywhere.
Do you feel like now that we've had our glasses off for a while,
that we should put them back on?
No. Well, actually, yes, because I won't be able to see the cards. But do you feel like it has changed, like, the quality of your thinking? Because I feel like it's, like, it's making me a little fuzzier, but, like, not in a bad way. It's, like, It's just a little hazy.
I think there's like so much going on that I couldn't like.
Also,
I was
shuffling, but I was totally talking the whole time and forgot to think about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I feel like the energy is pouring into the cards. I'm going to put my glasses back on. Holly is shuffling. Closing her eyes, even though she can't see. Anyway, so she's looking, ooh, a card jumped out. And then don't
did
look
you
at
see
it.
What it was?
I did see what it was.
I didn't see what it was. Well, good. Is it meaningful? What does it mean? Okay. All right. I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm putting my glasses back on.
Great. So with your left hand, cut the deck into three separate piles. And then also with your left hand, put them back together in any order that you choose. Great. And I'm just going to say a brief prayer over these cards. So we had kind of talked a little bit before the podcast about maybe flipping one or two cards rather than doing a whole spread. But I think we kind of know what we want to ask about. So I'm going to pull a 5-card spread and see where we're going from there. That's hilarious.
Wow.
Okay, so what we're looking at now is a 5-card spread. At the heart of the spread is, funnily enough, the 3 of Cups reversed, and Hallie's smiling because I think you know what that is a little bit, right?
I kind of do. I don't know about reversals as much, but I know that this card, I mean, it's like these three gals like lifting their cups together and just like having a grand old time. And it literally is the card that I always think about, like fun with friends, yeah, and like those perfect moments when I like then get in my head and I'm like, I won't always have these friends.
And since it's reversed, that's literally like,
oh,
being like, I won't always be.
That was magic,
guys. Yeah, it's really insane. So that's at the heart of the matter, is really feeling like you can't fully embrace the meaning of this card. That's joy. Oh, feeling really, yeah, super connected. I think the sun is, the sun below that is also emphasizing that. It's basically the same thing. Sun is total enlightenment, total, mm-hmm, joy, total rapture, totally feeling like, you quote, get it. You know, it's just like, word, oh my God, I see how everything is connected. And I see that everything, I mean, this is going to sound very like religious, but it's like, I see that everything is blessed under the light, mm-hmm, of love, you know, like all that kind of shit.
And I don't see that because it's reversed.
And you, you know, it's the same thing where you like kind of know that it's there, you know?
Yeah.
Not
really living it.
Not really living it, not letting it fully come up.
Mm-hmm.
And then atop that, so the sun is below there, and then the 3 of Cups is in the middle there, and then atop those two cards is the Ace of Swords reversed, which is probably the key to this, aside from these other two cards flanking it. The Ace of Swords, okay, I'm seeing how this is all coming into play a little bit. So the Ace of Swords is, swords always represents your mind. And aces represent very pure energy from their suit. So this is about clarity and everything like that.
I thought you were going to say it's just like overthinking.
It is. But I think aces are so pure that it's not exactly overthinking. When you have too many swords, it does indicate like, mm-hmm, too much going on in your mind. But the Ace of Swords is so pure, such a pure metaphor for clarity and truth and clear energy that like cuts through any bullshit, mm-hmm, essentially, that it usually ends up being a seed that is planted to create mental force in a way that's beneficial to you. It's okay, like good, but it can feel really challenging because a lot of times what that means is there, what this says to me is that there actually is some kind of crucial narrative that you tell yourself that needs to be changed, mm-hmm, but the opportunity is available to you. And again, it's reversed as well. So it seems like for all of these, I kind of get that, for all of these to be upright,
mm-hmm,
to allow the sun to come in, to allow you to enjoy the time that you spend with your friends without crushing it away, mm-hmm, essentially. Because on the one hand, crying when you experience joy is very, there's a lot, yeah, of release there usually. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you can feel sorrow and joy at the same time, and it, yeah, doesn't really ruin the moment. But to try to hold it all back, that, yes, sounds more like what you're doing, right?
I feel like there's crying when you experience joy because you're so like overwhelmed by,
yeah,
the joyousness,
yeah,
and then there's crying because you're like discounting the, mm-hmm, joy somehow.
And we're scared that it's going to end,
yes,
right? And you can't feel it all the way. So this ace, so yes, the sun comes in. Yes, the friendship comes in along with this ace that helps you find a the really, really challenge yourself to understand the truth of what your situation is, which I don't really know what that is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it has something to do with safety and trust, mm-hmm. because I'm seeing that it's flanked by Pentacles cards. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of what this is about a little bit. The Knight of Pentacles is more in the past position. So the Knight of Pentacles is very, very concerned with trust, like very, very concerned with the real world. He's the slowest knight, and he moves in a way that's very cautious and very doesn't take risks, mm-hmm. because he wants to really like make sure that the ground is beneath his feet.
Would you say that the Knight of Pentacles didn't have any friends in high school and took her turkey sandwiches to the library to do her homework during every lunch period?
And then got into an Ivy League and like...
And then realized that academia was pointless and she should have been building her social skills.
Yes.
Cool.
Oh, man. You know, there's nothing wrong with this knight. That's the thing is like the ground, you did build the ground beneath your feet in many ways. You know what I mean? But you didn't want to rely on anybody else to do that, to help to connect in that way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was all about making sure that you didn't have to rely. I don't know why I'm repeating myself, but it was like, you know, all about making sure you didn't have to rely on anybody else to feel
secure.
Listen,
I said the thing about my parents' divorce as a joke, but it all comes back to that. You can't rely on anyone. Everything ends. You're alone forever, so get it together.
All right. Mom. And this card represents your parents. No, I'm just kidding. Fine.
Wait, I know you just said this, but is this is past, and then, okay, this other one is future.
Which is fine.
Cool.
Knights are young energy.
Mm-hmm.
You did feel that way. This was important to you. Like, it makes sense. It makes sense. But so now you are in a more grounded place where you can explore these more joyous or, like, life-affirming experiences that aren't just about work or about your own personal security in the material world.
Mm-hmm.
So lastly, we have the Eight of Pentacles, and he's reversed as well. So now I actually really love the story that this is telling. So this says that he obviously also is working really hard. What this card shows is a guy who's leaned over his work table, and he's got six pentacles that he's been working on, and he's pounding away at a seventh, and there's an eighth to come. He kind of almost looks finished with whatever task he's working on.
Mm-hmm.
Something about this card is you can see that there's a path that's leading back to his community.
Does that
make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a kind of, there's a theory that his work is meaningful to his community and that he is involved with, you see where this is going.
Yes. My work is meaningful to my community.
Yes, yes. So when it's reversed, that's still kind of coming in. Like, you're still trying to shift from the knight who is solely focused on work and doesn't even isn't even conceptualizing that this could, like...
No, there's, like, no sign of other humans in the Knight of
Pentacles.
There's
not even a sign that his work can be used to create emotional joy. Mm-hmm. It's just not even a part of his reality. So for you, this shows that you're maturing into someone who knows that not only are they a really hard worker and you can finish your tasks, and you know what I mean? Like, you're someone who can really be relied on to do a meticulous job and do things well. But that you are, like, an essential part of the community that you're in, and that there's nothing that you can do to, like, destroy the bonds of the people that care about you.
Whoa.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's been too much work done to be a human being in the material world. So you just have to really think about your own values and how the work you do does contribute to part of your community. Because I think the more that you feel, I think this makes sense to me. The more that you feel like you are doing material things that matter to the people you love, I think the safer you will feel to feel connected to them and feel joy, because it'll be so obvious to you. It's like, I helped this person and they helped me, or whatever it is. And like, we are safe here together in this world that we have literally all built together. And I'm like a crucial part of that. Does that make sense?
That's so nice. Yeah. Does it mean anything that guy was reversed?
It's just that it's coming into being, I think. Or maybe that you're still searching to know what your work is that brings you meaning. Because I think that's very important to you. I think that's, like, a big part of why it's hard to let go with others, is that there is a sense of existentialism involved where it's like, oh my God, this mm-hmm. is all for nothing. Like all of this joy is just going to drift away and it never mattered.
Yeah.
But that's not true.
I also was just thinking when you said that about how like my actual work of writing is like does sort of require, or I'm telling myself that it requires a certain amount of like remove or like detached cynicism or whatever.
I think so.
You just need to be able to like see what's going on and be outside it. And then of course there's the myth of like, well, if you're like really happy and enjoying your life all the time, what are you going to write about?
Right, right.
Because it's not, most of my historic creative inspiration has come from places of pain rather than of like contentment.
I think it is hard for, I can relate as a writer as well. Like I think it is hard because you actually do have to get perspective in order to, you have to detach yourself from the present in order to write. But I think it's more about like, don't write when you're in
right.
the situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can detach later.
Yeah, detach later
you
when you're
in
detached.
The experience and then later be like,
right.
Okay, that part was weird.
Yeah. Even though I totally relate to being in a situation, you're like writing it as it's happening.
Yeah.
Like you're describing it as it's happening in your own head. So there's a bit of like needing to let go of that. And then later you can be as vicious as you
yeah,
like.
I mean, it is nice that this six of, what is it, eight of pentacles?
Eight of pentacles.
Dude, he's like kind of taking his time in his own little space to do his
yes.
work, but then there's the path back to the community. It's like, they'll be there.
Yes.
You can rejoin the world.
Yes.
In a nice way.
In fact, there's no way to even get away from it, which is kind of scary.
Whoa.
I mean, there obviously there is. People do it every day.
Yeah.
Through capitalism, people do it every day.
Oh my God, you're so
right.
So
I just want to throw that out there. So I think that can help. And it's like, you know, it's such a slow process, but I think that is something that the more you can trust in your contributions, mm-hmm. I think the easier it'll be to enjoy the present moment.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, it's interesting, too, that it's, like, encouraging me to almost quantify how good a friend I am. Because I feel like a way I have been thinking about it is, like, you don't have to be productive to be valuable. Like, you don't have to be writing on a cool show. You don't have to be, like, you know, getting a lot of things done. Like, you don't have to be, like, saying the funniest thing at the party. You can just be, man. Like, people will love you, even if you're just, like, a boring lump. But this spread seems to be, like, no, you do stuff.
I mean...
So I wonder if it's, like, focus more on doing stuff or, like, you're going to be doing stuff no matter what.
Let me think about how to frame that. Because the first part of what you said is right. Like, you can be a boring lump and I'll
guess,
still come and
see. But people don't like lumps.
I like when you're a lump. I'll come over and hang out when
thanks.
You're a lump. I think it's more saying, it's more saying don't worry about if you're meaningful or not. Like, mm-hmm. and this actually isn't just about real world stuff. Like, Pentacles is about trust. So mm-hmm. you build...
Right.
Your
you
work is
building
to build
relationships.
Trust.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. You get it.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to ask about?
I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's a beautiful vision for the future. I guess
I'll take
it's
that.
Just like a don't
Here,
worry.
Here's what I really should ask. Do you feel like you went to the next level?
Oh my God. Do I feel like I went to the next level? I kind of feel like
Maybe we should pull in the
have
card.
A roadmap to the next level.
Oh,
like I see what
I
the next
that.
Level will look
oh,
like.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
I don't know if okay. I know how to get there
okay.
other than like, don't worry, just okay. trust. But like, is there maybe some guidance on like,
yeah, let's ask
how to trust. Is
yeah.
it an active thing? Is it like a relaxing thing?
Okay. What do you need to know about going to the next level in terms of trust, right?
Yeah.
Is that what I can ask? We pulled Temperance.
What does that mean?
It's such a beautiful card. It's like it's like an angel with these big red wings, and she's pouring her cups probably back and forth into each other. She's got one foot in the water and she's got one foot on land. She's like beside a bank, and the sun is arising over the mountains, and there's these like beautiful daffodils that are coming up.
It's very beautiful.
Inside. She's very beautiful. She's got a little triangle on her.
Is that like an Illuminati thing?
It's a gay pride thing.
Oh.
Actually, I think she actually is a hermaphrodite.
Oh.
Temperance is about finding the right mix. I mean, it's a little bit of a like, just be like chill. Like there's a sense of like, you're going to just have to try things out. You're just going to have to trust.
Word,
trust is about trying stuff out
yeah.
and seeing what the right mix is and what feels good to you, and being comfortable with being disappointed and being comfortable with being happy and like mm-hmm. all these things all at once. I would say think of anybody that you know that seems to just always have kind of a sense of peace mm-hmm. around them, and why is that happening for them? And I think it's usually a lot about just being flexible, which is cliche to say, but it is very much a card of being open to expanding around experience instead of contracting around it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, trial and error.
And finding the right mix for yourself. Some people, there will be times when you will put yourself out there and try to trust and it won't work, mm-hmm. and other times it won't. I feel like you know that already.
Yeah.
But
a nice confirmation.
Yes. I would say that this is a great card to remember at all times as you practice trust.
Temperance,
yeah. That's what I would say. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Anything else?
No. I feel like I need to really go home and meditate on temperance.
Well, I'm so happy that I could get you to the next level. No, wait. You're not at the next level. That you have the map to get to the next level.
It's in my sights. It's in your sights. But I still don't know if it's the fourth or the fifth dimension.
And I'm comfortable with that.
You know what? The nextest level of all.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much, Hallie.
Thank you so much.
Where can people find you?
I feel great.
Online?
Hallie Cantor on Twitter and things.
C-A-N-T-O-R.
Don't really tweet anymore, except for when I'm stoned. So check that out.
Wow.
Yeah.
This has been What's Your Deal? I'm Ariana Lenarski. Please review, rate, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.